So section 3, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. Number 5, case 2414 regarding Kathleen Backus DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Backus in case number 2514. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it, ARS 32-2234. Dr. Backus,
hello.
Please introduce yourself and counsel.
I'm Dr. Kathy Backus. And Heather Neal-Pellis on behalf of Dr. Backus of Quinteros Prieto Wooden Boyer.
Thank you. Dr. Backus, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned in this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask some questions. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, can you please give us a brief summary on the case?
This is case 2514. On July 1st, 2025, Zucchini, a 9-year-old female German Shepherd, was presented to the respondent after falling off a cliff. The dog was evaluated for a suspected spinal injury. Complainant contends that the respondent had them carry the dog in and out of the x-ray room, encouraged movement of the dog, and did not refer the dog to a specialist. The respondent denies these claims. The respondent stated that the pet owners insisted on carrying the dog, they were educated on the importance of keeping the dog immobile, and recommended the dog be seen by a specialist. The dog was seen later that day by a specialist, and imaging confirmed an L1, L2 intervertebral disc fracture, and stabilization surgery was performed.
Thank you very much. Dr. Backus, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. We'd like to now give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
At this time, I'm going to just prepare or submit kind of a summary of what we've already submitted in this case. We submitted a lot of materials for you all to read, so I appreciate you taking the time to look at all of that. But it would appear that the board has a couple of main concerns that I want to address in the case, and that being whether or not the Browns were referred to a specialist in this case. I know that they say they were not. There's an abundance of evidence in this case that they were referred to a specialist. We have submitted not only the initial statement from Dr. Backus, but a supplemental response, as well as a couple of affidavits of witnesses who state that the Browns were actually referred to a specialist on multiple occasions during the two-hour visit at the clinic. That being Debbie Roundtree, who is also here with us today, available if you have any questions. But she submitted an affidavit, notarized, indicating that she and a couple of her staff members both witnessed conversations taking place where Dr. Backus was telling the Browns that they needed to go see a specialist. Dr. Backus is a very qualified veterinarian, over 30 years of practice. A spinal injury was definitely on the top of her differential that day, and that's why she told the Browns that they needed to see a specialist. We're talking about a very rural clinic in Page, Arizona. We're not talking about a clinic that is in the heart of Phoenix that has multiple diagnostic tools available for them. At that time, there were some x-rays taken, and Dr. Backus knew that the spinal injury was at the very top of her differential. Given that it was a rural clinic in Page, Arizona, they didn't have the capacity or the tools to provide any specialized care, you know, MRI imaging, that kind of thing, or surgical intervention, which is why she told the Browns on multiple occasions that they needed to go see a specialist. So there's an abundance of evidence in this case indicating that they were told multiple times that they needed to see a specialist. The other issue that I think is kind of at the top of the board's concern here is whether Dr. Backus's recommendation for laser therapy and NSAIDs met the standard of care. And I want to be real clear about when this recommendation took place. After the multiple times that Dr. Backus, you know, told the Browns that they needed to go see a specialist, they refused. They were apparently on vacation. They didn't want to drive to Phoenix or go see a specialist. And only after the refusals, two or three times, did Dr. Backus then say, the only other thing that I can do for you, that I can do for Zucchini, is provide laser therapy and NSAID treatment, which is what they had available at the clinic. Again, she didn't have narcotics, opioids, or any other therapy modalities at that clinic, given that it was in rural Page, Arizona. So we have submitted an affidavit from Lisa Miller, who is a veterinarian who lectures about laser therapy, as well as multiple articles on the efficacy of laser therapy in terms of helping with inflammation. Dr. Backus was certainly not telling the Browns that this was a cure for the injury. She never said that. This was simply something to help keep the dog comfortable, keep the inflammation down, and the hopes that the owners would eventually seek specialist care for their dog, which thankfully they eventually did. About an hour after leaving the clinic, they decided that they were going to take the dog to a specialist in Phoenix. Dr. Backus then immediately prepared all of the documentation, all of the paperwork, sent it to the specialist for continuity of care, and I believe that doctor, that the veterinarian relied on her notes and the initial imaging that was prepared. So in terms of getting the records to the specialist for continuity of care, that was done in an expedient manner. I mean, there really was nothing more that Dr. Backus could have done given the information or given the modalities and the diagnostic tools that she had at her clinic at that time. So we would submit to the board that there's sufficient evidence here to show that Dr. Backus didn't, in fact, meet the standard of care in this case, and the case should be dismissed.
Thank you very much. So now I'd like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Backus.
So I have a couple questions. Just for clarity, do we have the complainants available by phone or not at all?
They're not going to participate.
Okay. So I have a couple questions, and I've heard a couple times and seen in the information that we had to read that this is a rural practice with limitations, and I certainly get rural practices with limitations, but I'm trying to understand how being a rural practice limits the ability to use telemed for radiology consults, or being a rural practice makes it so you can't carry opioids. Like, I'm not making the connection there. Like, there's a lot of challenges with rural practices, but those aren't ones, in fact, those are ones that I would say I actually see being utilized in rural practices because they're rural practices. And so I'm struggling to understand that logic.
Yep. And as I say, I'll defer this to Dr. Backus. She probably has more information than I do on that.
Well, I think the first thing is I'm a relief veterinarian there. And so, and there's been one of the great things is you have the previous owner of the veterinary hospital 35 years here that you can ask and confer, but there's been an extreme difficulty of finding veterinarians, period, to work in this area, and even come to it, because it's, you know, a good 4-hour drive from Phoenix, at least. And there was, they'd actually sold the clinic 2 years prior and owner financed it. That Marion failed, so they had taken the clinic back, and that's when they had asked me, because their Dr. Roundtree wasn't in a position to work full-time physically, and said, the only way we can keep this practice open is if you please come and help, and I agreed to do that. And then on July 1st, there had been two potential buyers that had fallen through, and so at that particular instance, it was literally questionable if it would stay open. So there was a ton of struggle, not just the location, but the history of not having a veterinarian, desperately trying to find a veterinarian, and Debbie Roundtree in her supplemental explained that too, that I didn't even know on July 1st that they were considering closing. But I did know that there was less and less inventory and there was less and less things available and less resources. So it was, you know, we were doing the best we could of, you know, we were really, really limited on staff, veterinarians, and literally contemplating closing the clinic. And that was July 4th weekend. The 500, lots of people come visit the area. So there's also that pressure too of a huge, huge, it's not just the local population base that we're subject to.
Mm-hmm. So in a case like this, I mean, we have a clear, known traumatic injury. We have a dog that's, at least from what the investigative committee call was, paraplegic / paretic. We can go back and forth on what that was. And we made a recommendation for referral, rightfully so, if I'm hearing this correctly, and owners declined. So does the clinic ever use protocols that are against medical advice, like you are choosing to take your dog home against medical advice?
We have a form, you know, that says I went against medical advice, and so if there is a form, if they're gonna absolutely, or I will not, you know, if they deny saying I don't want to do that, I want you to do this procedure. So yes, there is that in place. I think the thing that was difficult is not only were they refusing, they were pressuring big time repeatedly to leave their dog at the clinic. And on the premise, my understanding was they wanted to finish vacation and go finish the hike. There was no other, and they kept saying, why can't we keep the dog here? Keep the dog here. We want to hospitalize the dog here. We want to have the dog here. I'm like, can't have the dog here. We don't have the staff. It's not going to keep that dog. Needs to stay immobile, and she won't. I can't, well, I have kennels. I have runs. There's no one watching her. It would be absolutely negligent to just stick that dog back in a run with nobody watching her, and she was anxious and trying to move, and you know, so the best scenario was to stay with them physically. If they had to do the nursing care and keep her quiet, because we could not hospitalize.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand though, like, you have owners that we're saying we made the referral to, and we're saying that we can't hospitalize, and your only other option is going to be to sit there in a hotel room or an RV or whatever it is they were in, and monitor this dog for the next 5 days. They're not going to get to continue their hike anyway, right? Because they're going to be sitting there monitoring a dog. So why would they have declined referral and then within an hour decided to go themselves? And the reason why I ask about the against medical advice form is it seems like this is the pretty severe injury that we know the outcome is not going to be good if it's not handled in a timely fashion. And I'm not seeing a sense of urgency in the medical records that was relayed to the owner. And sometimes the best way to do that is saying, I'm recommending you do this, and I want you to sign off on the fact that you're hearing me and choosing not to do this. And so that's what I'm trying to get, the level of urgency that was placed to this owner on the severity of the condition and getting care. Because they're not going to continue their vacation. There's no way. Right?
I mean the thing that sticks out in my mind, there was definitely something odd about the whole situation and communication with these people. You couldn't even get a straight answer. They were asking irrelevant questions to the point where you're like, I don't even know if they understand what's happening, but they do understand what's happening because they're acknowledging that, but they keep saying, why can't you hospitalize it? We have an RV. We don't want to drive down 89. We just rented an RV. We don't know how to drive it. You know, all these things that you're like, it's your dog. Your dog's in serious, you know, your dog needs help. But they weren't even really touching the dog or near the dog, or they just kind of were leaving it on the table and not attending to it. You know, it was very, very odd that I was like, so there was a lot of, it wasn't a normal exchange, I'd have to say. Like, it was so odd that it left kind of all of us that, like, well, I don't know how to get to these people and also be compassionate and kind and respectful. And because we didn't know why. Yeah. You know, was it financial? Was it not their dog? Was it, you know, like, we didn't have any good, their behavior wasn't even consistent with they really cared about the dog. So it was, you see, it was hard to say. I mean, I agree, I should have been more strict or had brought in Debbie Roundtree, you know, and just say, how can we convey this to you and really understand that you understand? And I mean, and that's what was also crazy to me when she said she's a medical doctor. So I said, well, then you certainly understand what's going on here and how serious it is. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. So I don't know.
Very odd, for sure.
Very odd.
Yeah.
I think you already answered the questions on the laser therapy. So the pain medication, and the reason that wasn't, I mean, I hear don't have opioids for rural practice. Was that strictly because you're whittling down inventory to close? Or, like, being in a rural practice where there is nowhere else to go, I think you would have those things. So I'm just trying to understand that better. And if that's better, ask of somebody else, that's fine too.
Well, I think it was because they were literally shutting down, so they weren't buying any more narcotics. So we were limiting to pretty much wellness care.
So at one point, though, the clinic did have narcotics?
Yes, over the years.
So can you describe for me the discussion with regards to the owners on movement of this pet? Who was instructing them to move to the x-ray room? Was there encouragement of movement in this dog? I mean, I heard it on the recording from the investigative committee. I just kind of want to hear it again, because they're very conflicting stories. I mean, opposite stories in many of these pieces of the case, and so I'm just trying to get a gauge for what was said from your position.
So that I agree with you, it's mind-boggling of how opposite it was. So going to the whole initial agreement was assess your dog to see if it'll live to drive 4 hours, and that's what we did and determined this dog can live to drive, right? It's not going to bleed out between here and Phoenix, but it has a severe spinal injury and it cannot move. They had absolutely refused, and I was in surgery when they first came in, would not let anybody touch the dog, insist on they carry the dog. I didn't know this was happening. Debbie can, you know, attribute to this more. And then when the owner, he kept picking the dog up this way, and then he got bit in the face. And so when they had said, well, we want to stay in Page. We want to stay in Page. We don't want to take the dog anywhere. And they said, well, how are we going to move the dog? And I said, well, then you're going to have to be responsible and really, really careful. And you need to support this dog. And picking it up this way is absolutely not the way to support this dog's back. And she's, you know, 50 pounds, so it's not super easy to pick her up anyway. So then I was instructing of, if you're going to move this dog, we have to support her from underneath on her belly with a long towel, you know, of something that's going to hold this way and be gentle. She could still move her front legs. She definitely wanted to pull herself forward so she could stand on the front legs. And so we, when I said, let's put her down on the floor from the table, and then we're going to show you on a towel. And we got a long towel to say you need a long one, so you're not also bent over and hurting yourself and trying to move this dog at all. And then they said, well, how is she going to go to the bathroom? And I'm like, well, it's the same way. You're going to have to carefully get her up, move her out, which is why we all need to go to a specialist and take her, and you know, and you have to be super careful with her. So all the discussion was trying to instruct them how to carefully, properly support this dog in their hands, because they weren't going to take it to a facility that could take on that responsibility. So, I mean, it was, that's what's mind-boggling to me, because I literally spent over an hour talking about all these things, supporting them, giving them tips and clues and how to best hold her. And so for them to come back and say, I said to move the dog and encourage movement, is, I just don't have words for that, because that is not at all what happened through the entire time. And also including, they refused to have any of the staff help them. Only they could hold the dog, only they could be, and they were, and I didn't know this interaction was happening or how it was, you know, from the beginning, but that was happening, and to the point where our Native American vet tech took personal, she thought it was her, that she was being discriminated against, and she's never said that in years and years. In retrospect, she said that. They wouldn't let me near the dog, they won't listen to me, they won't. You know, it was upsetting to everybody, because they were refusing any and all advice and support, but not being belligerent about it. They were just kind of checked out about it.
So weird. I don't think I have any additional questions.
Hi. You were in surgery when the dog came in. Can you describe the triage of the patient?
The vet techs,
mm-hmm.
they had the owners, I guess, or the ones that insisted on bringing it straight down the hall to the x-ray table. So the dog was put on the x-ray table, and then the techs did their assessment there. So they took the vitals,
okay.
they took blood work, they took an x-ray, and then they came into surgery and reported to me what was, you know, the status
so
of the dog.
On the table. On your exam, and we heard from the complainant, can you describe this placing the patient on the floor to assess mobility? Did that occur? What is your side of that?
Yeah.
What happened? Where did that come from?
That came from after they said the whole discussion, we are not going, we want to stay in Page,
mm-hmm.
we want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, and I said, okay. And then they said, how are we going to move her to the RV? How are we going to get her out to go to the bathroom? How do we know if she has to go to the bathroom, you know, once she's in the RV? So at that point, I said, well, that's what I just explained, that we need to support her underneath. And using a towel, it's that picking her up is not, especially the way he was doing it, it was not, that was going to injure her more, that she needed support from here and not bending her in half more. And so that's where that came from. It was helping them to at least make it from the exam room to the RV, and then, like I said, if she had to go to the bathroom, how are they going to do that themselves?
So that wasn't part of your exam?
No.
You know how we do with dachshunds, can we support weight kind of thing?
No.
Only in a size that wasn't part of the exam. You weren't
no.
trying to assess any ability to...
No.
Right. Yeah, these are disappointing when we don't have the other side. So you didn't advise the owners to encourage any movement, I think you said that fine. So did you discuss the radiographs with the complainant?
Yes.
Visually, they were on a monitor and you pointed and explained to those?
Yes.
Was it your phone? Something about on your phone, did I read that in there? You have a monitor where you went over.
Yes.
Okay. Regarding the referral, did you try to assist in any way with the referral, providing names, phone numbers, locations, distances, here's where I would go, here's another choice, anything like that? Or just, you need to refer?
We said Canyon Pet and Flagstaff as the closest one that we knew of that would be the shortest drive and the, what my understanding, I've never been in Canyon Pet Animal Hospital, but my understanding that they could handle and can do emergency referrals, and that's the only place that we recommended specifically from the beginning. And again, Debbie had the original conversation with them.
Okay.
And then that's what I, but also it said is Canyon Pet is what I'm familiar with as the best facility closest to us.
But given the fact there's no neurologist at Canyon Pet Clinic, why would we go to the extra step of going through them to get to a neurologist?
Not knowing if this was financial or what their motivation was, if it was a place to stabilize and keep the animal and have the proper hospitalization, and then they could make further decisions from there.
Okay. But there was no discussion about it at all. You just refer, you need to take this somewhere else.
I said a neurologist would be a great idea. I don't actually know of any, I mean, I don't, because I'm actually in Utah primarily, so I don't know, like I wouldn't have a neurologist off the top of my head in Phoenix, Arizona. Like I would have to look that up too, to actually find somebody, you know, to.
Would you have the directory at your disposal to look where it says specialties and there's a list and phone numbers? Would you? You know what I'm talking about, the AZVMA directory?
No, I don't. I would have Googled it because I don't.
Or Google it?
Yeah, I would have Googled it. I wouldn't have. I don't think we have that referral or, list.
Or Google, that's good. Google neurologists in Phoenix. Okay, that's all the questions I have.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
May I pose just one question to the board? I know that this was something we discussed about documentation and the urgency in the record. If there had been an AMA form that had been signed by the owners in the record, would that have would that have made a difference in terms of the board's interpretation of the urgency in this situation? What I'm trying to get at, we're trying to figure out in terms of documentation, like what can Dr. Backus improve? What can she do better to make sure this doesn't happen again? And does the board have any guidance on that issue?
I mean, I can't really speak on behalf of the board because I'm just one piece of it, but I would say the more you can document what was said and what they said back, the more you have to stand on. Like, saying I referred doesn't give the board a lot of clarity that, okay, I referred and here's the location that I referred to and here's the number or here's where I called and sent medical records in the event that they wanted to go, or here's the AMA form that they signed realizing that I said that they needed a referral and they were choosing not to do that. Those are all things that kind of just individual doctors will choose to do it however they want, but they add credibility to I referred, right? Which doesn't give us a lot. So I think that was why I asked that question, not to say that you have to do it. It's not a standard. It's not a thing like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have any other questions about that? I know we talked about it.
I guess my only question, because it is still an issue of what is the best way to communicate in general when you have non-client tourists with urgent situations in a very, not only is it rural, there's not great roads, it's kind of overwhelming and they're emotionally overwhelmed of how to best word or convey, because I know saying we're not an emergency clinic, or if you don't say that off the get-go, then you could be construed that you're implying that you are. So I'm just curious of how would, or what is the best word, you know? And then my also is the, if you say, no, we won't see your dog, we're not an emergency clinic, I think you're gonna have more complaints and really upset people on your doorstep of when they have nowhere to go, you know, and to have to drive while they're upset. And
I mean, I think it's a challenge for all clinics, right? Like, everybody deals with this. I think, again, I'll go back to the more you document, the more communication that's out there, the better. I didn't necessarily, and we'll open it up for discussion, but I didn't necessarily have an issue with the clinic and how they portrayed what services they offered. I thought it was pretty clear. So, I mean, maybe you'll get more out of the discussion when we start to have it here as far as what other members of the board feel, but I really stand behind, and we've talked about it so many times as a board, like how important documentation is, especially in cases where you feel like something doesn't feel right, right? Something doesn't seem right here. Something, they're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're not understanding the severity when they should be. Like, all those factors would have made me over-document just out of, like, protection of, and so you can remember, right? So you, 6 months from now when we're asking you questions, you're like, no, this is what was said, right? So but I think you'll get more of it out of discussion. So, fair. All right, so we don't have complaints.
Yep. So any other questions from board members? All right, so you got to do your summary and questions. We're good. All right, so this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So, Dr. Jinks.
You can sit back or you can sit there, it doesn't matter, either way. This case was one that, like, I've had a couple of these today that have been so different between respondent and complainant. Like, night and day difference. I don't even know how some of this could even be gray. Like, it was so different. And so I think here, I mean, my biggest concerns was, did we stress the importance of referral? Did we stress how severe this injury was and the need to get care? Did we stress that while laser can be used in different things, it is certainly not the cure for this type of condition on its own? And I think what we heard is we did our best. We tried to convey those things. And the owners weren't really listening. And I really wanted to hear from them because I kind of wanted to get a sense for what was it that they were hearing. And I heard some of it on the audio, but it is baffling to me that based on the professions of the owners of this, that they wouldn't have had more inherent knowledge of the severity and what they were doing. So, I mean, we can go round and round of why that is, but I don't think we'll ever know that. So I really guess I go back to, I feel like all we have to go off of now is the testimony and the information that was submitted, and it does feel like information was given to them and they chose to do something different until they decided on their own to go get a referral. And maybe they got back to the RV and were like, we're not going to be able to do anything anyway. We're not going to be able to hike. Where the reality was setting in and they decided to go, like, maybe that's what happened, but I just don't know if I can find a violation with what I know at this point in time.
I have, just like you, very much wanted to hear from the complainant. I can't get, it's baffling to use the word, where, responded, gave multiple recommendations to refer. I'm not at all clear about the the neurologist was. Everything I heard from neurology came from the complainant, not the respondent. In the audio, it was all, you need to go, you need to go. And now we heard, you need to go to the closest emergency clinic. And I'm like, we don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like emergency clinics a lot of times have your specialists, your big emergency referrals have specialists, and maybe that, well, or maybe it was like somebody that could overnight care monitor
overnight
this dog.
Overnight care,
right?
I get that part of it.
Yeah.
But that's not what we needed right then.
It's, no, but at least it would have been better than sending them to the RV
not,
for the...
And that facility is not overnight care anyway, so that facility is not emergency or 24/7.
I get that part of it.
Do they hospitalize overnight? I thought they did in Flagstaff.
Maybe.
I thought they,
but they're not 24.
Yeah, I don't think they are 24.
But again, it was the same thing. If it was like, I can't put it in a run, right, because nobody's going to be there to monitor it. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we shouldn't have even been talking about that. This case needed a neurologist, and it needed it now.
Yeah.
And so we have these multiple referrals, and then somehow the complainant went, I don't know about this laser stuff, and I don't know about, I think we need to find a specialist. That's the way I read it. So I guess my point is, especially in a case like this, where you see those radiographs and you have a posterior paresis significant, then the next thing is go to a neurologist. If you offer something else, they're going to hear that. A lot of clients are going to go, oh, neurology, okay, but maybe the laser will work. That's, I wouldn't have even offered it. I wouldn't have even mentioned that. I would have just said, go to a neurologist.
Yeah.
And I liked your discussion about the AMA. That would have helped. But that, with the degree of the disc space collapse radiographically, and the fact that this dog had significant posterior paresis close to paralysis.
Yeah.
We need a neurologist. If we're going to have a chance, I mean, we've all done that with dachshunds. And they come in and they, okay, we can do medical treatment, but that's not what you need to do. You need to go.
Right.
And then it's on them.
Yeah. I mean, and I kind of felt like that's what we were hearing today. Not necessarily to a neurologist, but go somewhere, not here. And yeah, maybe it would have, I certainly feel like it would have been better if it had been like, here are some clinic options we can send records to, like so that it wasn't like leaving it to the owner to find their
own
place or something like that.
Yeah.
But all of those, like, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I'm like.
But it was like, not here, but go somewhere else. And this odd behavior, I'll call it odd behavior, that we're hearing about on the part. When you have that, that's even more reason to be clear and concise and not offer anything else.
Well, that's what I mean.
I can't offer
when you already
anything.
Feel like there's something wrong.
If there's something wrong, you're even more
on the flip
concerned.
Side though, when you are treating a patient, like, none of us want an animal to go without. I would 100% agree with you. Like, carprofen laser is not going to fix a broken back. But at the same time, we could have been saying, well, gosh, you didn't even provide any pain medication, right? So, like, an ideal situation would not be to, like, this is a treatment plan, but that was all that they had to offer. I don't, you shouldn't be here. But if you're not going to listen to, you shouldn't be here. I still need to provide something for that pet.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. There are times when you have to offer a plan B. This isn't one of them.
I would disagree.
Here's what I can do. I can put it in a soft bed. I mean, that's something else. You know, I'm just like, laser? And I do a lot of laser in my practice. I have a lot of therapeutic laser. I have one where I'm at now. And it's helpful with inflammation, not in a dog that's
got fractured.
No,
but
well,
again,
displaced vertebrae.
But so you would rather do nothing? Zero. You know that these people are not going to do something. They're not going to go to the emergency hospital or wherever we want them to go.
Because,
we're fine. Yeah. Just say, I'm not going to do anything at all.
No, I sleep at night. And it's always our desire to do something.
Right.
But there are times when you go, I'm not going to offer this. I'm not going to offer anything.
It's not a solution.
It's not a solution. So let's not talk about it. Let's not do any plan B. Because you know that anything at this point, it's not going to help this dog. So why suggest it? I'm totally in agreement with you. Yes, when I face with clients that I'm not going to do that, what can I do? My brain is, what can I help them? What can I offer them? But if I'm trying in this discussion to steer them toward what I know the patient needs, then I'm not going to go, well, here's another avenue.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are plenty of dogs laying around in carts, right? Those are people that did not go to a neurologist to go get their back fixed. So would we not give them anything at all? So I mean, I don't know. Just saying, you're not going to follow my instructions, therefore I'm not going to do anything. I don't know that.
Oh, I wouldn't say it that way.
No, but it's still the same thing. I'm not providing any relief for that dog in any other way.
Yeah.
By just saying it's my way or the highway. If you do not go to this other,
yeah.
And we will deal with that a lot when finances are an issue.
Sure.
Right? This could have easily been they were concerned about spending the money and they were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And
that
created the weird behavior and they just didn't want to say we have no money. Like that could have been the case, right? So. I just don't know that I can say that that with the information we have that there's a it rises to the level of violation, because while it wasn't done as clearly as maybe it could have been, and maybe in the way that, you know, direct referral to a specific location would have been better, but I don't necessarily know that I can say it was a violation.
What about that?
Especially without hearing from the complainant to even understand what their side was, which was very different than what we're hearing here.
Right, exactly. What about the fact that the only pain medication this dog received was an NSAID?
Yeah, I think it sucks, but I don't. They didn't have anything else.
Okay.
Okay.
So are we going to not? Don't find me for a violation. I don't have anything.
We do that on dentistry, where they could have found a mass and they didn't do dental X-ray because we didn't have it. I mean, I don't know. Is it a standard of practice to say we have to have narcotics in a hospital?
Right, and that, I mean, that's part. If they do certain surgeries, we've just done it and approved.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't a surgery.
Right.
This isn't a surgery. They didn't knowingly take in this dog.
Right. This wasn't somebody that they're like, hey, we have our door open, why don't you come in? They were like somebody who just showed up, and they're like, ooh, we're not an emergency hospital, like, so.
I mean, I think I made the point that I think a rural practice more than anyone else should have those drugs because there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to be a 4-hour drive to get there, like get pain meds on board. So I would have said the opposite, but I don't necessarily know that that's a violation.
Right.
Well. All right.
It's all.
I mean, I think
everything you're saying is accurate. I mean, that everybody's saying on all the sides.
Yeah, I think
crappy
it's a crappy case.
Yeah.
Crappy is a good word for it. And I'm glad the dog is doing better. But it definitely...
But we didn't get both sides of it, and so now we have to make a decision with the facts we actually have from the respondent.
All right. I'm going to make a motion in the case of 2514 that we find no violations of our practice actor rules.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes. The board finds the doctor's conduct did not violate the practice act and does not warrant disciplinary action. The board dismissed this matter. And Dr. Batkus, you'll receive a written confirmation of the board's actions shortly. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. And this concludes the informal interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to.
Yeah,
oh, wait. We're going to wait for.